Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
One of those theme tunes that's a little bit annoying because you're not quite sure what it is. It's from the Great British Bake Off, of course, and Channel 4 has apparently locked in a deal to keep it for another three more years despite apparent interest from Netflix, because 4 million people are tuning in to the Great British Bake Off every week. People love it. And for lots of us watching good food being cooked and plated up and served, it seems to be a really comforting experience. And cooking shows attract all sorts of audiences, people who love to cook, those who love to eat, people who just like to watch the process for whatever reason. And with me in studio now to go through some of the best ones on the telly, we have food writer Ali Dunworth and James Kavanagh, who's presenter and podcaster. You're both welcome. Thank you very much. Fans of food and food shows.
Yeah.
Well, Ali, you worked on them in the past, so it's no surprise that you love them.
Yeah. Yeah. But I suppose I ended up working on them because I loved them. So I would have studied broadcasting and went to college in London, and I worked in restaurants, and it kind of was a thing I hadn't really known before then. One of the chefs that I worked with actually was on Saturday Kitchen, so I ended up going with him and kind of washing dishes until...
So that's where it started?
Yeah, and I kept, it was when I graduated and I was trying to get a job, and it's really hard like to get into television over there, but I went in with him. The runner didn't show up, so I started washing the dishes, and I kept on showing up every Saturday morning at like 4 a.m. to start the recording. Until they eventually gave me a job.
So you worked on that. What else did you work on?
Yeah, I did Saturday Kitchen to start off. And then, like back then, there would have been a big studio called Capital Studios where they used to make like a show called Great Food Live and Ready Steady Cook and Saturday Kitchen all in one. So you'd work as a runner across all of them. Mm-hmm. So I'd be doing the shopping and washing up for all of that.
Oh, so you were the person who went out and bought the things.
Yeah. So, you know, even I think
Laid
it was...
and weighed.
Yeah. And I was trying to remember on Ready Steady Cook sometimes if you had to run out and get something, and I knew all the supermarkets in Wandsworth, like, was it Wandsworth or Clapham? But like at the back of, like I knew every aisle where everything was. And then, yeah, so kind of work your way up then. Mm-hmm. And then I did a couple of seasons with Nigella very early on. And then a Great British Menu. And there was a show called Market Kitchen that I worked on for years. And that was a daily show. And I don't think they make them like that anymore.
Yeah, like, churning them out every day.
We do like 50, like you do 10 recipes sometimes in a show. Mm-hmm. Like we were huge teams. You might do 5 shows a week, like 5 live shows a week.
So you've seen it all, really. I mean, you've seen it all. You've seen the ones that are the daily ones that, as I say, they're churning them out, and you've seen the ones that are fancier. Like,
yeah.
Think of the Nigella shows as being fancier on the production side.
Oh, yeah. And like the big difference, like the live ones, you know, you do it and you throw the script in the bin afterwards and you're so happy, and you probably don't have a show until next week. And yeah, the series is a different kettle of fish altogether. Very, you know, you're filming everything like 4 times. There's a lot of work that goes into it. Yeah.
So James, what for you is the appeal of cookery shows?
Cookery shows, they're almost like, I collect cookbooks and I don't cook from them all. They're almost like coffee tables to me. It's the same with cookery shows. I just kind of like vegging out to them. Excuse the pun. my first intro to them was the Two Fat Ladies.
Yes.
My mum was obsessed with them. They were always in the house. Yeah. She had the Two Fat Ladies cookbooks. And I just was obsessed with watching these ladies with all of their rings on and their like red talons. And they were just making food and telling stories with each other. And that was my kind of first intro. So it was almost like watching a soap for me. That's kind of like what cookery shows are. I love Ina Garten as well. Julia Child, I binged over COVID, the original. Her black and white episodes are on YouTube. I just get lost in cookery shows. I don't even know if I'm learning anything from them. It's just like they're so pleasurable to watch.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the point to learn a lot of the time, is it, Ali?
No, and I always say that, like, the cooking has to be there. Like, you're never going to put a chef, like, or a cook on there that doesn't know what they're talking about. And you've obviously obviously got a huge team behind there. You've got home economists, you've got people making it look beautiful. So the food is a given that it's going to be perfect. But it's like the entertainment. Because in a lot of those shows, we did a lot of screen testing as well. There's a lot of chefs that were brilliant. You put them in front of a camera and they just...
didn't work.
Yeah, because you have to kind of not care too much about how your food looks. Like, you can't be a precious kind of chef. And I think that's why, like, the two fat ladies, like, they were amazing. Because they just knew exactly what they were talking about, but they were never showy.
Yeah.
And they were so posh, but they didn't feel that way because they were getting their hands dirty.
And it's the stories that spring from the food and the dishes as well. Like, I went to Ballymaloe and Doreena Allen was hilarious. She'd be like teaching us something, but then she'd be like, and yes, that ingredient I bought in India, and when I was in India, and it just goes
and away
on,
you
and
go.
On and on. Yeah. And that's what I love about those kind of, that era of like TV chefs.
Let's have a listen to Nigella now. Here's Nigella in action.
I don't believe in guilty pleasures. I think the only thing anyone should ever feel guilty about is not taking pleasure. But having said that, I do concede that the amount of enjoyment I get from eating supper in bed is almost shameful. But I need to be prepared. I'm ever hopeful. So I have to keep the ingredients in the house that enable me to rustle up a quick supper whenever I want.
A lot going on there. A lot going on there. Actually, I was looking at a Nigella recipe last night and I just love how she goes, I'm not going to make this couscous the way everyone tells you you should make it because I'm too lazy. I'm going to make it the way it works and just pour boiling water over it and the best of luck to you. Just, I like people just being real about it. And she is very real about it, isn't she, with her cooking?
Yeah, and I think another thing about her was like, she's very posh. And
she is.
But how she cooks is not. She's just, she eats, you know, she eats in her lap. She's always about the shortcuts, extra cream, everything. She makes everything kind of easy. Like, she'll never do anything too laborious or that you're not going to attempt at home. And I say a lot of people watch it and never cook the food, but if you do, her recipes are easy.
Yeah, I love her little midnight trips to the fridge
in
like a silky bathrobe eating mousse out of the fridge.
All going on.
Yeah.
When you came into the studio, we all mentioned Come Dine With Me because we really want to talk about this. Let's remind ourselves of the theme tune. God, I really want to watch it now. So four people host dinner parties and they each go to the other one's house. They don't know each other and they're competing for this prize of £1,000 because it's in the UK. It is so good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's you almost want the rouse though when it comes to Come Dine With Me. And for some reason, it brings out rouse in people.
Yeah.
They get very defensive over their food. And there's a really iconic moment of, I can't remember your man, but he's like, you've all the grace and decorum of a reversing dump truck, he says to one of his competitors. Like, it just brings out this psychoness in people. But it's just so fun to watch people come up with their own little menus to try and impress each other. My favourite day of the week is Sunday, usually when I'm hungover, watching the omnibus of Come Dine With Me and Four in a Bed back to back.
So you've got you know, a couple of hours of viewing.
Heaven.
There. I love when they're really prepared. They start off their day, they've got everything ready, they've prepped stuff the day before, and then it just all goes horribly wrong towards the end, which we can all relate to, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love now that, like, I didn't even know they were still making it because I used to watch it years ago and I haven't seen it in years. But you see so much of it now on clips on TikTok and in memes.
Mm.
Like, people fancy dress outfits, dressing up as like iconic characters. You know, the girl who took
Rollers.
She had the rollers in her hair and she's wearing like a leopard print cardigan. And I think she was turning the steaks with her oven gloves.
Yeah.
So she was cooking steaks in the oven and she just put her hand in with the oven gloves on. She thought that's what oven gloves were for, to touch the food in the oven. And like, so I suppose that brings new viewers for them as well. Mm-hmm. The little clips on it. But
and it spawned loads of people playing Come Dine With Me. Like, I've played with Come Dine With Me with friends and family and
You've
stuff.
You've done it, have you?
Yeah.
I think it definitely spawned a whole dinner party
thing
activity like that you wouldn't have done before. I think in the 2000s people started doing that more, and we used to do it and score each other.
Right. And that all came from Come Dine With Me.
Back, like, I think it started in like 2005.
And
like,
did you have your cards, Tam?
I loved it.
Could also spawn rouse. We have a clip from Come Dine With Me. This is Peter and Jane. This is apparently a fairly famous clip from 2016. Let's see if you recognise this one.
So let's see who's won. In fourth place is me.
Oh. I don't know what you're shaking out at me.
You won, Jane.
Oh my God.
Enjoy the money. I hope it makes you very happy. Dear Lord, what a sad little life, Jane. You ruined my night completely so you could have the money, but I hope now you spend it on getting some lessons in grace and decorum, because you have all the grace of a reversing dump truck without any tyres on.
Oh, dear.
I don't get it.
Well, you wouldn't, let's be honest. There's nobody in there, love. So, Jane, take your money and get off my property.
Oh, that was the one you remembered. That's absolutely vicious, isn't
it? Very cutting, yeah. It comes from that era of, like, remember, like, Wife Swap and, like, all that. Yeah. I love all that kind of TV shows. But, yeah, they got very, very competitive and come down with me.
Yeah, I think they were quite late nights. I remember talking to somebody who worked on it, and there could be very late nights, which you didn't always see in the final edited version.
Yeah. And probably drink fueled as well.
You'd imagine so.
Yeah,
imagine
so. And then they get spicy.
What about the cookery shows then that take us on a journey? You know, the travel cookery shows, they are really entertainment, because I look at those and I go, there's probably no way I'm ever going to cook that dish that they're making in, you know, southern Italy, but I'm enjoying watching this.
Yeah, I think, like, I know loads of people love to watch, like, David Attenborough to relax, but for me, that's Rick Stein. Like, I could put on Rick Stein, like, anywhere in the world. And I've definitely cooked Rick Stein recipes, but never something I've seen on the TV show. Mm-hmm. But the way he just gets so excited about a lemon, or, you know, the kind of enthusiasm that he has for everything is amazing. I find that really relaxing.
Yeah, Nevin did it as well, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Spanish, like, trails, yeah.
I think that, like, you always think of, I think Keith Floyd actually was one of the early ones. Did you ever used to, and he used to be brilliant, because he'd be quite sloshed and always have a glass of wine in his hand and be cooking on the side of a mountain somewhere. Was amazing.
And was probably using the oven glove to touch the food as well. Because as I remember, he wasn't too
was
bothered
anything
about
goes.
Health and safety.
Yeah. You definitely weren't watching Keith Floyd for the recipes. But yeah, I think there was Keith Floyd, there was Rick, then obviously there was Anthony Bourdain. And then now, like, what chef wouldn't? Like, if you were a chef with your own TV show, and like Nevin and Donal, like, why would you not want to go on a travel series? Like, it's the dream, isn't
Jamie
it?
Oliver did it as well with your man from the Italian chef.
Yeah.
My grandmother would be a bicycle. What's his name again?
Gino DeCampo.
Gino DeCampo, yeah. But I love that whole idea of doing a food trail. I mean, when myself and my boyfriend go away, we plan our day around breakfast, lunch and dinner. And if there's a museum by somewhere that we're having lunch, perfect. But it's more about the food trail. And you see a lot of the place you're in if you go by the good restaurants.
It's a good way
to generally do it. In interesting places.
Even planning those trips, like if you do go to, like when I went to Thailand, like you look up where Anthony Bourdain went.
Yeah.
And anywhere that Anthony Bourdain has visited has become famous in its own right.
Yeah.
And it's kind of similarly now with Chef's Table has done that for places as well.
Well, we have a listen to him. Here's a clip of Anthony Bourdain in Vietnam.
So back in Vietnam, one of my favorite places on earth, and all of the things I need for happiness. Low plastic stool, check. Tiny little plastic table, check. Ooh, something delicious in a bowl, check.
In this case, a local specialty, Com Hen, clam rice, sweet, meaty little local clams out of their shells, tossed with a wild swirl of mung beans, white rice, spicy green chilies, crunchy roasted peanuts, fried pork rind, and cilantro. And a similar variation with rice noodles.
Got fish sauce with chilies in it, and whoa, that'll just singe your eyebrows off. Throw some chilies in.
Hit with some hot clam broth, and you're on your way. I'm back. Back in Vietnam.
He was selling it there until his eyebrows were singed off. Then he kind of lost me. What about Jamie Oliver? Jamie Oliver kind of changed things up, didn't he, when he came along first?
Yeah, he kind of made it very accessible and very easy and kind of took away any highbrowness, I think, when it came to food cooking, and was great for students and young people.
And men.
And yeah.
And he actually, the producer who was Two Fat Ladies, Pat Llewellyn, who owned a production company and did loads of the shows that you would know and love, she's the one who discovered Jamie.
So she'd
worked on Two Fat Ladies and done a few other shows. She saw him in the background when they were filming at River Cafe and spotted him. And they went to do a show with him, but they did it first of all as a chef with whites and quite formal. And then they re-recorded it just with her, took the camera off the legs, just her talking to him, and that's kind of how that style happened, because I don't think we'd seen it like that before.
No.
And a lot of it was like, even Nigella, you know, the things you see her doing, collecting kids and going shopping. But Jamie was like bopping around London on his Vespa, going to Borough Market. His mates were in the back garden. So I think that's kind of how it appealed more to men than it wasn't as domestic as what we were used to seeing.
And has it changed a lot now, Ali, in that a lot of those chefs are operating online on their own websites and their own social media accounts?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's totally different now. Like, to 10 years ago, if you wanted to be a TV chef or you wanted to get now, you have to, you make your own content. And you see that with like some of the, you know, the Bon Appetit chefs in the USA that have like, they're so huge, their household names around the world. And they all do just YouTube videos. Like I don't watch very much cookery shows on YouTube. Like I like the old fashioned shows, but I think it's a different, it's totally different era now.
Do you, James, or are you, you're watching Come Dine With Me on a Sunday?
I'm still watching Come Dine With Me on a Sunday and still binging old episodes of Two Fat Ladies. But like Ali was saying, I love seeing the behind the scenes of the person. Like Nigella will be collecting the kids from school, or she'll go into her pantry. I love when she goes into her pantry and she takes out a you know, a seasoning she got on holiday, and she'll tell you a little story about that, and you kind of get to know her. So that's what I'm always looking for when it comes to a TV chef to watch. Same with Julia Child. I loved learning about her little stories when she was showing the recipe. And she'd go to the markets in France and have an interaction with the sellers. So I love seeing the life of the person.
Well, we have a clip for you now. This is Meryl Streep playing Julia Child in the movie. So Julia, 2009, this movie is from. And this is her chatting to her husband about her future after they moved to Paris for his career as a diplomat.
What should I do, you think?
About what?
I don't really want to go back into government work. You know, but shouldn't I find something to do? These wives don't do anything here. That's not me. This is not me.
I know.
I saw a notice on the bulletin board at the embassy for hat making lessons.
You like hats?
I do. I do.
No. What is it that you really like to do?
Eat.
I know.
Stanley Tucci, wasn't it? Playing her husband in that. That's well worth another watch.
Yeah, they're such a good duo. Like Devil Wears Prada as well. They're a great duo. But she really nailed her voice.
She did.
That Bon Appetit. She's so good. And Sarah Lancaster, we were just saying, did
in the miniseries. Which is... might just have the edge over that.
Yeah,
over the movie.
I agree. And you can see there's more to it as well. I kind of love TV adaptations over sometimes the movie, because you can get your teeth into a bit more of her life. But she, Julia Child is just so fun to watch, the way she just grabs the chicken, slaps it down and just takes away the nervousness, I think, about what you might feel it needs to cook a meal or whatever. It just makes it way more real or something.
Well, I think we'll all be watching Come Dine With Me this weekend, back to backs, thinking about James. Thanks so much to both of you, Ali Dunworth and James Kavanagh. Thank you both for coming in. Coming up next, we're going to have an update for you on that developing story in Baltimore in the United States where the bridge collapsed overnight. That's after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.